Fangoria Presents The Narrow Caves is brought to you by Shudder. Shudder is the Netflix for horror, where you can stream great thrillers, horror, and suspense for $4.99 a month or just $49.99 for the entire year. I watched a few Stephen King movies on Shudder this weekend, including Pet Sematary, Cujo, and Salem's Lot. I'm also pretty excited to watch some Alfred Hitchcock films that I haven't seen. They have all types of movies and series, from the classics to modern favorites, and even some originals too, like A Discovery of Witches that hit Shudder on January 17th. And they add new shows and films weekly. To try Shudder for free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. The following contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised. Previously on The Narrow Caves.
She wants me to meet her father and brothers, see where she grew up, that sort of thing.
What?
I'm fine. The tests didn't show anything.
I love you.
I love you too.
Smells nice here. A little familiar for some reason. Should I tell the driver he can go, or would you rather... Oh, looks like he's dismissed himself.
Red light from the tail of the cab fills the reception room and fades. Walter shuts the door as Ruby looks farther into the house.
Father?
This place is nice. Has that elegant old world kind of atmosphere.
Let's put the luggage down here for a moment.
Walter and Ruby rest their suitcases and boxes beside a wooden coat rack and copper umbrella holder. The pale woman leads her lanky guest forward. Ruby stabs her hand into a dark room and flips a switch. Two standing lamps shine in a wood-paneled and plushly furnished library that has a globe of the earth that looks like a pincushion, a record player, a window, and a dozen completely filled bookcases.
Your father must really like to read.
Always.
The lanky fellow eyes the nearest shelf, reads a few titles, and wrinkles his brow.
Are all of these in other languages?
No, but a great number of them are.
What are they about?
European folklore and early history. He's an avid...
Ruby sees something and grows concerned.
What?
The pale woman leads her lanky guest forward and gestures at the floor. Lying there upon the wood are several moist clumps of dirt.
I wonder what this is from.
A pet?
Ruby shakes her head no, walks towards the right side of the room, and opens a door. The pale woman stabs her hand inside a dark closet and flips a switch. A light flashes with a pop and dies.
Drat it.
She walks into the dark room, reaches blindly into a darkened corner, and grabs what she needs. Ruby carries a dustpan and broom from the closet and walks over to the dirt and Walter.
I wonder where my father is.
The broom sweeps the collected dirt into the dustpan. Upon the revealed floor are five grooves.
What are those?
I don't know.
Walter leans closer to inspect the marks. These five lines are parallel scratches in the wood. Each one is about an eighth of an inch deep and 4 inches long. Puzzled, the lanky fellow stands up. The pale woman ruminates while she sweeps the remaining dirt into the dustpan. Walter looks away and freezes. Standing in the doorway and watching him is a gaunt and tall older man.
Fangoria presents The Narrow Caves. Written by S. Craig Zoller. Directed by Keith Reynolds. Starring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator.
Chapter 4.
Father!
Ruby, my dear.
Walter relaxes as he looks at Gregory Gleickman. The once terrorized child is now a very thin adult of 70 who has aquiline features, silver hair, and dark eyes. The gaunt man walks forward and embraces his daughter, who then kisses him on the cheek.
Oh, it's nice to see you.
The gaunt fellow nods his austere head and turns his gaze to his daughter's guest. Walter extends his hand, which is soon clasped firmly by Gregory. The men shake.
I'm Walter.
Gregory Gleickman.
The lanky fellow flinches minutely upon hearing this name. This nervous reaction may or may not have been felt by the gaunt man whose hand he clasps.
It's nice to meet you.
Gregory appraises Walter in a very direct manner. The lanky fellow withdraws his hand.
This is a very nice house that you have.
Thank you.
It has an abundance of history.
Warm lamplight illuminates a spacious bedroom which has two large windows that face the surrounding woods. At the four-poster bed, Walter and Ruby unpack their suitcases. The lanky fellow stares in a preoccupied manner at the contents of his open bag.
Something wrong?
I didn't know that your father's first name was Gregory.
Puzzled, Ruby looks at Walter.
Is there something significant about that? Walter.
He wrote that leather-bound book that you keep in your room, didn't he?
You had no right to read that.
It was lying there the first night I stayed over, and I was curious. I didn't know it was private, and I forgot about it until now.
Calmer. Ruby shakes her head and continues to unpack.
Give me your dress shirt and jacket so that I can hang them.
Walter relinquishes the requested items, which Ruby then carries with a black dress toward a closet.
Did your father give you that book?
The pale woman pauses at the threshold.
No. I found it in my mother's safety deposit box after she died.
How does it end?
Ruby opens the closet door and hangs clothing.
It doesn't end. It just stops.
Do you think that what happened in that book really...
I'm not comfortable talking about it, all right?
Okay.
Unpacking, Walter continues to think upon Gregory Gleickman.
He's older than I thought he'd be.
He spent a lot of years searching for the perfect woman.
It sounds like he found her.
The pale woman sets an opalescent silk robe upon the hook that adorns the bathroom door.
He did.
Walter, Ruby, and Gregory sit at an oaken dining table beneath the enormous chandelier that has illuminated this room since the days when the gaunt man dined with his parents in the 1920s. The lanky fellow wears a beige sweater and corduroys, and the pale woman is dressed in a charcoal blouse and matching slacks. Walter swallows a mouthful, sets down a spoon that has green residue, and looks at Gregory.
That was terrific split pea soup.
Silver scrapes the bottom of a bowl as Gregory nods his head appreciatively and finishes his own serving. Ruby is already done with her smaller portion. The lanky fellow slides back his chair and stands up.
I'll get the dishes.
Thanks for the offer, but you don't know where anything goes. Stay here.
Walter glances at the inscrutable Gregory Gleickman.
I'll help you.
I'm capable of carrying three bowls.
Walter sits down as Ruby rises and grabs the soup bowls.
I once handled six without injury.
Gregory gestures at the kitchen.
Will you dress the salad and bring it out?
Certainly.
Ruby leaves the room, and Gregory fixes Walter with a very direct gaze.
Thanks again for having me over.
Were you born in Florida?
I was.
And your parents from Florida as well?
They are.
Pondering this information, Gregory nods.
How did they meet?
The lanky guest is confused by this line of inquiry and soon surmises a reason for the gaunt man's questions.
They're not rich or anything. Both of them came from blue-collar, working-class family.
That's perfectly fine. I'm just curious about your family history.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not exactly sure how they met. I think it was in college. My dad died when I was really young.
Gregory leans forward in his seat, though maintains his calm, unreadable gaze.
Are you comfortable talking about your father?
Sure. He died a lifetime ago, but I don't know all that much about him.
What were the circumstances of his death?
Puzzled by this morbid question, the lanky fellow scrutinizes his gaunt host and then ruminates for a moment.
It was some kind of shutdown with his immune system or something. We never were completely sure.
Where was his family from?
His parents came over from Germany and Poland.
And from what places did your mother's ancestors originate?
Russia.
Gregory nods while considering this information.
Have you ever been to any of these countries?
No.
You don't care about your heritage.
Walter suppresses his irritation with regard to this patronizing question so that he can politely answer.
I do care. I just haven't had the opportunity or means to go there.
Such trips may teach you a lot about yourself.
Gregory eyes Walter inscrutably as Ruby enters the room with a large bowl of salad.
A trip anywhere will tell you something.
A small fire crackles in the hearth. Walter and Ruby sit together, though not too closely, on the couch in the library. Opposite them stands Gregory, who is carefully stabbing three pens into a peninsula on his wooden globe.
Who are those for?
Our Floridian guest and his parents.
Walter looks a question at Ruby.
He likes to account for our family associates on that globe.
I'm honored.
The gaunt man returns to his seat by the phonograph and the lanky fellow gestures.
Does that play 78s?
It does. All of my collection is 78 speed.
Classical stuff?
Yes, primarily. Religious, orchestral works. Cantatas, masses, and cantor prayers.
Are you religious?
The Christian and Jewish belief systems are not my own, but the spirituality of their music can transcend the didacticism of their myths.
So then, you're an atheist?
My religion is private.
The lanky fellow has no more follow-up questions for his girlfriend's father. Curtains have been drawn in front of the windows. A bed, and in a dark blue nightgown, Ruby ponders a question in a crossword puzzle magazine. Walter pulls on a pair of striped pajamas.
I don't think that your father wants me here.
Don't take his behavior personally. He's just naturally aloof.
Ruby writes an answer into small white boxes as Walter sits upon the edge of the bed. The mattress dips, and the pale woman looks over at her lanky guest.
Do you feel all right with everything?
Overall, yes. Though this place brings back a lot of memories. My crib was right over there.
Does the memory of that crib put you in the mood?
Not exactly.
Well, I hope that I can change that.
Walter kisses Ruby on the lips and presses his right hand to her chest, but she slowly draws away. Stimulated, the lanky fellow leans forward for a second attempt. The pale woman shakes her head and withdraws.
It just feels too weird right now. Here.
Disappointed, Walter nods his head and exhales.
I understand. And so does the northern part of my anatomy.
I'm sorry. I'll make it up to you some other time. Soon.
I look forward to cashing in that lascivious rain check and endorsing it.
Yawning, the pale woman nods her head and reaches for the nearby table lamp. Something catches her eye, and she gestures at the curtains, which are not fully closed.
Could you close the curtains all the way, please?
Walter pushes himself up from the edge of the bed, walks to the window, closes the gap, and returns to bed. Ruby turns off the light. Darkness spreads. Moonlight glows around the edges of the curtains. staring at this faint radiance and wide awake in bed is Walter. Ruby sleeps on the far side of the mattress. At present, she rolls onto her back.
The test didn't show any symptoms.
Walter looks at Ruby, whose eyes are closed.
Ruby? You awake?
No response comes from the pale woman, who then rolls closer to the far edge of the bed. The lanky fellow gently cradles his girlfriend and brings her to the exact center of the mattress.
The doctor said she was fine.
Ruby is still asleep. Fully awake, Walter climbs out of bed, walks towards the door, and stealthily twists the knob.
Mother will get better.
Concerned, the lanky fellow glances at his sleep-talking girlfriend and then leaves the room. Moonbeams push through a skylight and shine upon the oak panels of the hallway that Walter now walks along. The lanky fellow enters the library and turns on a standing lamp. Warm orange light spills upon the rows and rows of books that line the shelves. Angling his head to better read the spines, he walks over to the nearest wall. None of the books stand out during his initial perusal. At present, the lanky fellow walks east and continues his appraisal of the collection, much of which is in German. Car lights from the distant road shine through tree branches and the window. Glaring beams play upon the spines of various books. Walter sees an embossed title on a very thick leather volume that secures his interest. The golden print reads, Gleichmann Family Photographs, 1974 to 1976. Walter pulls this album from the shelf, walks over to a plush recliner chair, and takes a seat. His left hand twists the switch of a reading lamp, which brightens. The lanky fellow opens the book and looks at the first photograph. This image is of the Gleichmann family on a ski slope. On the left stands Gregory, whose hair is a bit darker, and to his right is a somewhat boyish 12-year-old Ruby. Near her are two pompous boys, identical twins in their teens, who both hold skis and poles. On the farthest right is the mother, Nancy, a healthy woman with a strong jaw and wavy black hair. Another photo shows the Gleichmanns inhabiting a lodge and sipping cider. The next picture captures Gregory and Nancy on a ski lift that is ascending a mountainside and was taken from above. The mother's head rests upon her husband's right shoulder. Walter turns the pages in the album. His eyes quickly scan each photo as he progresses through Gleichmann history. A picture catches his eye, and he pauses. This image is of the family who are gathered around a table that has a birthday cake. Ruby and her twin brothers stand close to the cake. Nancy Gleichmann sits behind them while looking at the camera. Her hair has turned gray, and she is exceptionally thin. It looks like she has aged 20 years. While her children have advanced only two. Walter turns the page. There is a photograph of the family at a lake house. The twins and Gregory are washing the side of a boat. In the shade of a tree, Ruby reads a book to Nancy, a weak, skeletal being who has veiny, jaundiced skin. The lanky fellow turns the page and sees that the album holds no more photographs. He closes the cover, returns the collection to its spot on the shelf, and looks at the adjacent spines. Gleichmann Investment Portfolio. Gleichmann Mutual. Gleichmann Medical. Contemplating further investigations of Ruby's troubled past, Walter looks from the lattermost spine to the hall. This dark and silent passageway is empty. Decided, the lanky fellow pulls the Gleichman medical folder from the shelf, returns to the chair, and opens the cover. A couple of papers fall to the floor. Leaning over, Walter claims these loose pages. His eyes flicker to the five grooves that were scratched into the wood. He examines the papers that he just retrieved. These are receipts for Herman's Pharmacy and North Oakwood Drugstore. Walter riffles the medical file. Receipts, prescriptions, and several charts are stapled to the succeeding pages. Most of this paperwork pertains to Nancy Gleichman. Coming upon psychologist's report, confidential, Walter pauses and reads more closely. His finger runs down the page which says, Nancy Gleichman, patient. Multiple instances of somnambulism and sleep talking.
Crap.
Walter glances again at the hallway and returns his attention to the medical file. Flipping pages, he comes upon a color photograph of a woman's mouth that is held wide open by a stainless steel bar. A hand in a mint green medical glove lifts up the patient's tongue. In the exposed flesh sits a pea-sized, purplish-black pustule of some kind.
Oh.
The lanky fellow turns the page and sees a similar photo in which the growth has swollen to about the size of a grape. Another image shows three pustules under the tongue. The next page has a photograph in which tiny silver hairs protrude from the purplish-black growth. Another car's headlights shine into the library and more brightly illuminate this grotesque image. Walter turns away from the photograph and looks at the window. His eyes squint. Beyond the glass, silhouetted in the trees and outlined by glaring headlights, is a dark figure. Shocked, the lanky fellow stops breathing. The headlights vanish around a bend, and the figure that may or may not exist disappears. Heart racing, Walter goes to the window and looks out at the yard and the street. Nothing moves in this moonlit tableau. The lanky fellow returns the medical folder to the shelf and lifts the shade off of the reading lamp. Light from the uncovered bulb glares out through the window into the night. The yard beyond the glass appears to be uninhabited. Walter relaxes until he notices that the window itself bears five linear smudges. Shaking his head in refutation, he looks for an intercom.
Stop all of this and go to sleep.
The lanky fellow places the shade back on the lamp, which he then shuts off. Anxious for it to be morning, he leaves the library and walks up the hallway. The door opens, and Walter quietly creeps into the bedroom. Ruby lies in shadow on the left side of the mattress.
What have you been doing?
The lanky fellow looks at his girlfriend, but cannot see her face, which is turned away and in shadow.
Are you awake?
Does it sound like I'm asleep?
The pale woman sits up. Moonlight splashes upon her hands and thighs, but does not illuminate her face.
You were sleep-talking earlier, son. Wasn't sure.
Where were you?
The lanky fellow quietly pads toward the bed and glances at the shadowed face of the pale woman.
Using the bathroom?
I went there 2 minutes ago.
At the edge of the mattress, Walter pauses.
Where were you?
The lanky fellow deliberates for a moment, fully aware that an honest answer will turn into a larger conversation.
I went to the library.
Why? Why did you lie to me about where you went?
Irked by this interrogation, Walter delays his reply by climbing into bed and rearranging the blanket.
Walter.
I wasn't able to sleep because you were babbling, and...
I was babbling? What did the crazy somniloquist say this time?
Ruby, I didn't mean it like that. Can we please...
What did I say?
Something about your mother. I don't remember exactly.
What were you doing in the library?
I went there to see if I could learn something, anything, about her that might be helpful. Ruby?
I can't believe you did that.
You don't ever talk about what happened.
It isn't your business.
It is my business. I hear it at night, often, and see the bruises you get from falling out of bed. I'm just trying to help.
Ruby lies down in bed and turns away from Walter.
Don't be so curious.
That's my personality. If I wasn't, you and I wouldn't even be dating.
Okay. Irked, the lanky fellow lies down, turns in the opposite direction, and looks at the moonlit curtains.
Been listening to The Narrow Caves, written by S. Craig Zoller, directed by Keith Reynolds, produced by Dallas Saunier and Keith Reynolds, executive producer Will Evans, featuring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator, co-starring Hunter Hargrave, Lindsey Graham, Ann Beyer, Sarah Ragsdale, Mike Schrader, Ian Ferguson, Rico Fajardo, Jeannie Tirado, Eric Vale, Jeffrey Schmidt, Aaliyah Tavakolian, John Michael Tatum, Christopher Sabat, and Brandon Potter. Sound design, Foley, and sound mix by Lindsey Graham. Original score by Binary Reptile.
In the next chapter.
She had some kind of schizophrenic episode. The last time I saw her, she was raving.
Carter and Samuel, this is Walter.
And perhaps Walter will join you, if he's still around at that time.
If you're going to say things like that, you're more than welcome to leave. It was night, and I was alone in my room, and I looked outside. I saw all of this burning.
Any idea what caused it?
There was a man. Someone's on our property.
A vagrant.
Probably.
Hey! Who are you? And why are you here?
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fangoria.